This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. Today, we're going to be talking about how to build a strong posture, which I think is extremely valuable. Now, most likely, if you're listening to this, you're a coach, you're a trainer, you've been training for a long time, you've probably got really good posture. But maybe you don't know that. Maybe like it's just always been a thing and like you just have no idea how you got there. But it's also definitely a massive point for your clients, right? So it's a big thing for, that's probably an episode you want to send to people that don't have good posture, because I think it's one of those things that people don't really know how to make it better, but a lot of people want good posture. Like it makes a big difference. So very excited to dive into this episode, talk about one of the most common problems that all clients have that come to gyms. And essentially how you can make it better. And I guess, yeah, even for yourself, if you feel like you don't have great posture, how you can also improve it yourself. Before we dive into it, guys, you know we have podcast programs, project programs.
They say, you know we have a podcast.
You know
they do.
They do know that. So our fitness programs, Project Body, Project Fitness, Project Strong, Project Mobility, they're all hosted on an app. This app is called Team Builder. Okay, so we haven't built our own app, even though we have the ability to change the icon and make it our icon, which is super cool. It's a great feature of them. But if you're interested in delivering a program and having lots of people follow it, you know, you want videos, you want, you know, inside the app, you want like a forum where you can kind of go back and forth with people and post updates and send them push notifications. But also something that's just really easy to use, right? Most people use their phones and programs at a gym these days. And they don't want to like do an Excel sheet. That's not going to work. They don't want to like scroll through a website. That's never really going to work. They want somewhere they can enter their scores. It's really easy to follow. They can tap on those videos for different exercises. And they can interact in the app with other people that are potentially following the same program as well. And Team Builder, when we're searching for all those boxes to tick, Team Builder ticked all those boxes. So you guys can get a discount on Team Builder and an 8-week locker room program. So one of our kind of behind closed doors special programs at Locker Room for 8 weeks, the template, and you'll learn heaps from that program loaded into the app when you come on it at themindmuscleproject.com/teambuilder. And Team Builder is one word, and then as I've said before, in Builder, the E at the end is taken out. So it's just Team Builder, no E at the end. So make sure you guys check that out. If you need a solution like this, this is your opportunity to get that discount and get that program, that bonus program loaded into it as well when you check it out. All right, cool. So let's dive into, I guess, the myths surrounding posture, which is probably the most important thing. Maybe you know what the myths are, but it's probably worth stating them again, because most of the clients that come to the gym is they have an idea of maybe how to fix posture or maybe what it's caused by, but they don't really know the facts. So some of the biggest myths around posture is people think that they can just consciously like correct their posture by pulling their shoulders back, standing up nice and tall, and just remembering to do that every single time to fix their posture. That's a myth. That's never going to work. Remembering to stand up tall and straighten your spine like an arrow and pull your shoulders back constantly, it's never going to work. You want a permanent solution to your posture.
Yeah, well, I think their expectations are wrong. So, you know, everyone's got different curves in their spine. And someone has like a really straight spine and some people have like a really curved spine, right? And if you have a really curved spine, you see that on an x-ray, the bones are different shape to somebody else. If you just be like, oh, I'm just going to really focus on it when I'm sitting at my desk, you're not going to have that much of a dramatic change.
Yeah.
And if you're expecting to look like the person with a very straight spine genetically or just from, you know, from childhood, their environment, it's not going to happen.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. The same way as like, oh man, I really want to build that guy's like biceps and chest. Like where his chest muscles are attached, the shape and size of his pecs, is where his biceps are attached, the size of the muscle belly. So many factors come into it that, yeah, even though you want a straight spine, there's only like so straight that your actual spine can get as well.
In some ways, it's like standing up really tall in the hope of just becoming really tall.
Yeah. Yeah, there's limits. There's limits, right? There's limits to your spine. So yeah, there's that. There's like, there's a shape of your spine. A lot of the formation of posture is in your like developmental years, which is why when you see kids with really bad posture, it's important to correct it. Because a lot of the ways that their spine will form and their bones will stack because they're so like malleable in the beginning, very critical that you get on top of it early if they have bad posture. If they just have normal kid posture, that's great. But I mean, obviously with phones now, kids are so flexible, right? Mm. So they can get their posture into really, really bad positions.
Yeah. And
right?
It's really hard to fix that.
Really
it's
hard
not going
to
be a set of face pulls.
Nah, it's going to be a lot of work. So I'd say like getting onto it early if you have kids, teenagers that are developing bad posture, it's like really critical. And then another thing about posture, which probably is important to consider as well, is, you know, mental health disorders affect posture as well. So like, you know, you can tell a lot about someone's posture from their mood. And I know we're talking about sort of the strength and the biomechanical aspect of your spine right now, but it's worth bringing in here that, yeah, there is actual, you know, mental health associations that tie very, very closely to how you're holding yourself in your posture. And maybe it's, you know, you have good posture and then, but you have poor mental health. And so that causes a slump. But yeah, you can't just work on the stuff we're going to tell you to work on now and, you know, improve your posture if, you know, you're suffering badly from depression, you know, because you're just going to have, that posture is going to be reflected in your, sorry, your mental health is going to be reflected in your posture. So it's worth stating as well, you can't always just fix it with all this stuff. But let's say your mental health's on track. Here are some different ways that you can affect posture. But remember, they're tied together. So bad posture will affect your mental health as well. And it seems weird to kind of, well, if I'm slumped over and I'm looking at the ground and my neck's forward, you know, I can still be happy. Yeah, that's true. But if you're, you know, genuinely feel good and happy, generally you have much better posture. And it's a reflection. Your physical, your outward external, I guess, manifestation is, it's a cue, it's a sign, it's a symptom of what's happening internally. So be very challenged to find someone that's shoulders back, sitting up tall, you know, eyes looking up, eyes looking straight ahead, that's like in a really, really bad place. So it's worth throwing that in there as well. Okay, so let's talk about why it's important. Well, what I just said, right? It's important because it affects your mood. It affects your mental health. We know that. It's factual. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got research, we've got studies on it. People that stand up tall, that look up more, that have their shoulders back, they have better, they have increases in serotonin, which affects mood, right? It affects more positive mood. So it's important to have strong posture for your mood. That's number one. Number two, it's also really important for like injuries and stuff, right? Like people get chronic neck pain, people get chronic shoulder pain, people get chronic lower back pain because they have really bad posture. So they go to transition into exercise, into sport, and they're, because your posture, I guess, is the baseline foundation from which everything else moves. And so if you're like coming from a really bad foundation, like you're not going to be able to get your shoulders into the right position to throw, or you know, you're going to get your hip in the right position to kick a ball or whatever, or to train. Like a lot of the clients that we train, you just can't do some exercises because their just posture's not there. Yeah, you can't do a pull-up if your shoulders are like way, way forward, right? It's like heaps of stuff.
Yeah, the posture is critical because it could be a myth or whatever, but you can't just fix everything with like cueing technique. If you just generally watch someone, they're standing there, you're like, oh, they got bad posture. When they start running, they're going to maintain most of the postural issues when they're standing there. Definitely. They don't just like start running and then just transform into this like Eliud Kipchoge runner.
Yeah.
No, they're like, you see them, oh, wow, they're like heads really forward because they're on their phone. They're like slumped over and their feet are like turned out to the side. They start running and they maintain 80% of that. And they just turn that into a run. And to cue them to fix that while they're running will be so hard. And you could definitely cue some of it, but you're not going to cue it all away. Whereas the person standing there with awesome posture, they're generally just going to start running and maintain that posture. That's just the way it is. So it's like the ultimate head start for getting into your fitness.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, someone with really good posture, great foundation, all their movement patterns are going to be great.
Yeah, just, and it might be like, oh, dude, you know, your back is rounded on this deadlift. They fix it. They just fix it.
Yeah.
You know, really quickly because they're not having to like fight against this poor posture.
Yeah. And usually what bad posture or some of the negative effects of bad posture as well is like downstream, like we talked about, you get some other really bad stuff. So if you're shifting your head position or whatever, it's going to, you're going to have to offset that some other way, right? If your head's forward, usually what happens is it kind of throws your lower back out a little bit because your body is trying to recalibrate its center of mass. And then by doing that, you're going to create shifts in where your pelvis sits to kind of offset that. And what that can do is that can cause you to have like a really weak core, right? Or it might really cause you to have really tight hip flexors, really short hamstrings, weak glutes. And so there's kind of like all these downstream effects that start from a really bad posture. As soon as that head position is off, as soon as it's like, I can't remember the exact stuff Kelly Starrett used to say, but like it's
something off, like a kilo every centimeter. And yeah. And to visualize it, just imagine a kettlebell. You know, so a kettlebell like on your head, it's like, oh, it's not too heavy. And then every centimeter until you're holding it right out in front, man, it's getting heavier.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then that strain goes down the rest of your spine, right? People go, oh, my lower back's so sore. Well, okay, why is your lower back sore? If your head's way out in front of your body, it's because your lower back is bracing to hold your head you know, from falling all the way forward. You know, yeah. It's not just relaxing there.
It goes all the way down. Sometimes people are like, oh, my calves are really, really tight. And that can be the same thing. Your head is way out in front. So then all the weight's going through your toes and you're pressing through your calves just to stay upright.
Yeah. But it's very subtle, right? Yeah. It's not like people are like, no, but my calves, I don't feel it. It's like, no, because it's this constant tiny amount of tension that wouldn't normally be there if it would stack back. Give you a great example, right? So I'm always mixing my shoes up in the week just because I like to mix up what shoes I'm wearing. When I end up in my like running shoes, it always pitches you forward a little bit, right?
Because of the heel.
Because the way the shoe's designed, it obviously is trying to propel you forward, right? Which is the purpose of the shoe. Now, if I'm like, just feel like wearing it for the day, I'm constantly like pitched forward a little bit, right? And that would be the same as if your head is forward. Like you're constantly slightly pitched forward. The whole center of mass is led by the head. It's slightly pitched forward, right? Now, if when I go and I put on then a really flat shoe, say what's the shoe called? I can't remember, but it's like Converse, right? It's like Nike's version of a Converse, and it's completely flat sole. All of a sudden, I feel like I'm falling backwards because my center of mass has shifted from just slightly forward. You would barely notice it all day because you're just in the shoe, to perfectly stacked, but it feels like I'm falling back because I've gotten used to slight pitch forward. That's what's happening with your head. Your head is slightly pitched forward the whole time, but you never realize because your whole body has adapted to it. We're adaptation machines, right? Which is why posture can get so bad. It's not like you start with really good posture and it's fixed and you can't do it. No, we're going to talk about some causes of bad posture, but if you end up in bad posture, then as a result, you're constantly in the wrong position, but your body adjusts to it. And then it's not only when you get that contrast. Obviously, with the shoes, you can make the contrast instantly. You're like, oh, fuck, I was spending all day slightly forward. I wouldn't even know. But what that's doing is putting stress on different areas of the body. And all of a sudden, when I'm sitting back, I'm like, oh, wow. It's like less pressure all of a sudden. You know, it feels a bit easier to stand more upright. But you would never notice that because those changes are so subtle. So just one of those things, a really small change in posture can have huge downstream effects long term, positive and negative. It's definitely important to consider. Okay, so what are some of the things that cause bad posture? I'm going to obviously throw out the biggest culprit of modern society is like phone is a really big one, right?
Yeah, well, I'll add, like, before we get into it, one explanation I had given to me once, what I thought was good, was the two biggest drivers of it, obviously genetics, but leaving that aside, because we can't fuck with that yet, being very sedentary and then lots of activity. So usually those two things. So say you're like,
two extremes.
Yeah, the two extremes is what usually worsens people's posture. So that can be like, you know, working 20 hours a day coding, right? Obviously, you'll come out of that with really bad posture. And then the other side of that can be bad for your posture as well, which is like extreme sports. Well, not even extreme sports, just sport, I guess. Right. Yeah, like repetitive sport. And I remember there was like one time in my life, my posture, I noticed a big dramatic shift. And that was actually when I was like doing my HSC exams. Because I was like very, very sedentary, studying, you know, 10 hours a day. And then my only break was like extreme activity. And I would just like do bench and squats as hard as I could for an hour. And those two extremes, you know, it tightens up your quads, tightens up your chest really, really hard in an unnatural way. Like it's not natural to do 10 by 10 squats and bench, right?
Yeah.
Not really our design, unfortunately. And then it's also not our design to sit 14 hours face on a computer. And I think those are the two culprits normally, you know, the cyclist who's had too much activity in one plane and the person who was hunched over a desk on their phone all day.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, even you look at different people when they run, right? People that's like only sport is running. If they've chosen just a certain position to start running in and they spend hours and hours in it, their body becomes most efficient in that position. And so when you try and correct them, it's like, hey, I need you to be a little bit more upright, stack your head on top of your shoulders a little bit more when you run. That tires them out because they're like they're fighting in for a new position. So it's really what it comes down to, what Raph's getting to, is that it's whatever positions your body is holding most of the time. That is what is the cause of good and bad posture. Now, cueing yourself to stand more upright is not always going to be the best fix, even though listening to this, it does correlate in some ways, right? It's like, okay, I need to get myself into a good position and hold it as long as possible. The thing is, if you've just spent a lot of time in a bad position, which 99% of us have, then it's very hard to get into that position. The reason that like PTs and coaches previous to iPhones always had really good posture is because we'll get into it. Obviously, they do the right training. They strengthen the right muscles. But a lot of their day-to-day is not at a computer. A lot of their day-to-day is they're standing up tall. They're talking with people. They're meeting people at eye level. So they're at eye level with all their clients all the time. And they're standing, right? So they're in a natural position.
They're
just
moving their body. They're reaching up, grabbing this, grabbing something from the ground. It's not like they're just doing this one thing that's in front of them at a certain height.
Yeah, so that's why, because they're most of the day-to-day, 5-6 hours of the day where you spend hunched over a computer typing, they're up tall, interacting with clients, demonstrating movements, moving around. And so that's like kind of why you go, oh man, all coaches have like really great posture and stuff. It's like, well, because look at what they're doing most of the time. They're standing up tall, they're moving around, like they're cueing good movement, they're thinking about good movement. And those patterns get ingrained, it's hard for them to get out of position. Then when they go and sit on a computer, they generally hold a decent position because they're just used to being upright. And that was actually one of the stories I was going to tie into this is, so obviously we've been investing a lot of time in like one of these local businesses that have like a great restaurant and cafe and stuff. And they opened up another floor the other night and I went to the restaurant and, you know, they just have the best service I've ever experienced in hospitality. And they came up to me and I was with my partner and they were introducing themselves and like, I'm the owner, I do this and I do that. And we're chat, having a really good chat. And then one thing he said is like, oh, I always notice Locke, even when he's in every morning, he's got the most upright posture in the whole thing. He's like, I don't even need to like look at his face. I just look at the guy at the posture and like, he's got the best posture. And he's like, you know, it's interesting that you've got such good posture because he's like, you're so tall. Most people tall that are tall have bad posture. And he's like, also, when I look at you doing your laptop in the corner on the thing, he's like, the laptop is still pretty far from your face. Like most people get really close to the laptop and they bend over. It doesn't mean I don't do that sometimes. I'm like really deep in something or my eyes are tired, so I'm like getting in closer. But I'm not cueing myself to have good posture. I just sit down and work on my laptop, and because I'm just so used to being in the right position, my body just holds the right position. Now, I'm sure if I spent 5-6 hours there, eventually I'd lose a little bit of position. I'd get tired, or my body would just kind of move towards the screen a bit more. But the point is that when it gets good, it becomes unconscious, but it's also such a contrast to everyone else. So one of the culprits of bad posture, it's just your habits, right? That's what it is. So if you're spending time on your phone, if you're spending time on a laptop and stuff, the ways that you can, obviously you're not going to just not do those things now, the ways that you can just get into a better position, I would say is, number one, when you use your phone, lift it up a bit more. Don't have it on your lap. So I see a lot of people use their phone and they put it on their lap, which causes their head to tilt all the way down and forward. If you use your phone, hold it up a little bit higher, right? So pin your elbows to your body and then lift it up a little bit higher. That's going to just put your head in a better position, right? Same thing with your laptop and your chair. Use a standing desk, get your elbows in the right position. I forget what it is. It's like 90 degree angles. Yeah.
Generally, everybody's computer is too low.
Too low.
That's why they'll generally sell like those laptop lifter uppers. Yeah. Because I mean, even if you're at a standing desk, often the posture is horrific, you know, because you're hunched over this like too low standing desk. Still sucks, right?
Yeah.
Standing is like not this like incredible fix.
Yeah.
So usually you can have much better posture just sitting down if everything's in the right position.
Yeah. Laptops are a tough one, right? Because the screen and the keyboard are connected. But if you can get the monitor up to eye level and you can put the keyboard down at 90 degree at the elbows, that's optimal position. So if you have an opportunity to alter that position, if you've got a laptop, you can buy like an external keyboard for like $50 or whatever, and you can just Bluetooth sync it. That way you can bring your laptop screen up, you know, on a stack of books or whatever in your home office, and you can get it at eye level and get the keyboard down low. Or if you've got a screen, raise the screen up, keep the keyboard low, just small things like that. So you don't really have to think about it. And you know what's probably interesting, people will find like, man, my neck's kind of sore, I'm like fatiguing, my back's sore. It's because your body's adjusting to that new position. But eventually, that'll become normal.
Yep.
Yeah. So those are the two main culprits, I'd say. It's not outside of phones and laptops. Not heaps else.
Well, I mean, phones can be 8-9 hours a day.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to compete with that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's the main culprit, right?
Yeah, I think like some people could be driving and stuff, but you still don't drive 8 hours a day for most unless you're a driver.
Yeah.
You know, I think for nearly everyone, it's, phone or laptop, whichever's like your main work thing.
Yeah.
People kind of alternate between the two. If you're doing both, you're truly fucked.
Yeah.
And I guess the last add-on I'll say, there's a saying which is for posture, which is like the best position is the next position. So obviously you want to set up everything as best you can, but at the end of the day, you still need to not be in the same position all day. Even if your laptop is perfect, if it's 11 hours on the laptop without moving and you're just holding in your pee this entire time, it's not going to be ideal for your posture. You still do need to change positions. It might be like from a sitting to a standing desk, right? To open up your hips a little bit. You just have to move.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then last thing, okay, we've decided in this podcast, we've all got a problem, we've got to fix it. Besides all the stuff we just mentioned, strength training, right? Strength training is the final, I don't want to say it's the icing on the cake, it's mostly the whole cake, but you need also muscles to hold you in that strong position, right? So you're going to move into this new position, but if you're really weak, you're not going to be able to hold it for very long, right? So just imagine you're squatting, you know, your whole life you've squatted to parallel with 20 kilos. Now all of a sudden it's like, all right, cool, I'm going to put 60 kilos on the bar and I want you to go ass to grass.
Not good.
You got the muscles, you can get down there, you can move down there, but you're not going to be able to do many reps. Mm. Maybe you won't even be able to do one because the strength and the muscles aren't there, the positions aren't there, and that's just going to take time to build. And that's the same with posture, right? So the muscles, what muscles are involved with posture? All muscles are involved with posture. So I was like, no, I want to strengthen like my posture muscles. I'm like, cool, let's get better at squatting. Let's get better at deadlifting. Let's get better at pull-ups, at bench press, at everything, because everything is connected, right? So having really good movement through all different movements, be able to get into all positions, that is how you improve posture. You can't just get better at bent over rows, but still have really bad like ring dips. Because, you know, ring dips is like range of motion for your chest.
Yeah.
And the chest is involved with how easily your shoulders can sit back. If your chest is really tight, you know, you can get it stronger by increasing range of motion in push-ups, in dips, and that sort of stuff to help lengthen and stretch those muscles, because you can do all the rows you want, but if your chest is really tight, it's going to pull your shoulders forward. So everything is connected there, right? If you want to stand up really tall, like, it's not just about having, you know, a strong back extension where you can hold your spine straight. It's about having really strong glutes as well. Like, you need to develop your glutes so that they can lock your hips into place. They can stand up tall. They can keep you balanced side to side. So everything is connected. You need to do full body strength training. There is no one great posture exercise necessarily.
Yeah, of course, because everyone's different as well. And I will say on this, I think the stupidest mistake people make is that if you imagine the average person is like, say, working on a computer all day, right, hunched over their desk. To me, the really fucking crazy thing is when they buy a Peloton.
Mm.
I'm like, man, what are you thinking? You are hunched over, you're looking up at a screen, you are going to get into more hunched over on a bike, looking at a screen,
yeah,
the same but worse,
yeah,
for your break.
Yeah.
That is going to make it worse. It's honestly going to make it worse. You already have a lot of back pain, it's going to make it worse. It's that is crazy if that is now your exercise routine. You know, like, yeah, it's not going to make it dramatically worse if you do one of these sessions a week, but if that is your answer to your posture, it's one of the worst possible answers I could ever imagine.
Yeah.
So you need your training to look totally different, probably, to your day-to-day life.
You need strength training. No amount of cardio is going to fix bad posture. Only strength training will fix posture.
Yeah, so. And I think it's obviously going to be usually strength training that looks different to your regular position. So,
yeah.
Like when we were rowing, you know, the coach would always be like, hey, we're not going to go and just replicate what we do on a rowing boat in the gym.
Mm.
Because that's what we thought. We're like, oh man, you want to like do things that are sport good for your rowing. Sport specific. Like, no, guys, like, we're going to bench even though you pull in the oar.
Yeah.
Because guys, we need to work everything. All the muscles
here.
Yeah. And at the time, we're like, that's a waste of time, bro. You don't need it. He was right. You need it.
Yeah. You need, man, we've spoken to all the best coaches in the world, right? The All Blacks coaches of Olympians, everything. What do they prescribe? They prescribe GPP, generalized strength training, full range of motion, full strength. There's always sport-specific stuff to throw in there, but there's always a solid foundation of like GPP stuff, right? It's essential. Everything's connected. Every muscle works together. You don't want any weaknesses in any part of the chain. All right, so hopefully that was helpful, guys. I think that, you know, you can take this one, you can give it to your clients, you can program it for yourself. You know, it's an educational episode. It's an educational piece. So hopefully that was helpful for you guys. And hopefully that, you know, it'll improve postures, improve mood throughout the future, because everything's connected. And if we got a stronger, more upright, less painful or more pain-free body to work from, we'll just be more productive, better humans in society. So hopefully you found that valuable, guys. Share it with someone, pass it to a client, apply it yourself. That's all we ask. That's why we do it. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll speak to you all next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themindmuscleproject.com/theaftershow. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.